And a good Saturday morning. Welcome into another edition of Ask the Experts. I'm your host, Dave Callender. Thanks so much for joining us. And kicking things off for this Saturday, back to the program, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. Morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And good morning to you, Dave.
And on today's show, the topic we're going to be tackling, bad ideas in mortgage financing and why. We'll get to more of that in just a second, but throughout the hour, if you've got questions for Kevin and Ann, do give us a call. Our lines are open at 519-570-2545. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715 or *570. Hands-free on your cell phone. So, what's been going on since we saw you last? What's exciting?
Oh, just lots of work, putting in lots of hours and getting ready for today's show.
Well, what's really interesting that's happened lately, and unfortunate as well, is this case of fraud down in Cambridge by a real estate agent. And we'll tie this in later on to bad mortgage ideas. But this person was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing, of course. But it's something that should have warned the people right from the beginning. He was doing more than one job. And in our particular brokerage, our agents and ourselves, we don't do anything more than mortgages. Mm-hmm. And it's our belief, and we won't hire anybody that wants to do anything more than mortgages, because the temptation to commit fraud is greater when the more money that you're going to earn gets tied up with it. So if you are a real estate agent and your sale depends on whether the mortgage goes through or not, then if you're handling the mortgage, the temptation to earn both of those commissions as opposed to none of those commissions is there, and you have the ability to start manipulating the data on the house and the data on the mortgage application. And that's where the fraud comes in, and the fraudulent documentation comes in, because there's just so much more to lose. If you're a real estate agent and you're just losing the house commission, and there's no possible way for you to fix that, that's the way it goes in business. If you're a mortgage agent and all you're going to lose is one commission, you're not losing a house commission as well, that's the way it goes in this industry. But if there's a way there for you to fix all of that, that temptation is great. Now, aside from that, it's also our belief that all of these industries, whether it's legal industry, appraisals, home inspections, mortgage brokers, real estate brokers, all of that is very specialized and requires constant updating in your education on it and the information with it. And you just can't do that for several different or even two of these different areas of specialization. So if you're working with someone who wants to do the house sale or purchase as well as the mortgaging, I think that's a red light.
Okay. That puts a little red flag up there that says, okay, real estate guy, mortgage broker, home inspector, chef de cuisine. No, too many titles there. So,
And too many conflicts of interest. And that's what it really is all about. In our opinion, there's a conflict of interest. You don't go to a dentist to have a health checkup. You know, he might be capable. He's had lots of medical training. But that doesn't mean that he's really qualified to do it.
And we're not saying that everybody that wears two hats are in the business of fleecing people. It's always a very small percentage of any industry, whether it's mortgages or real estate or car sales, that will create a problem and a bad reputation for the rest of the honest people in the industry. Unfortunately, it's the people who do not work in the correct moral perpitude department that are the ones that'll cause a problem, and they have much greater opportunity to do that when they're wearing more than one hat.
So back to this case in Cambridge, where this Cambridge real estate agent for three purchasers and one seller, vendor, handled the deals on all of it. And not only did he handle the sale part of it, he handled the mortgage part of it, and he handled the legal part of it. Now, he's not a lawyer. He wasn't a mortgage agent. He was a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. And in the end, the vendor was fleeced out of his money, and the people that purchased it were fleeced out of their down payment the property they thought they had bought, and monthly mortgage payments, which he collected on behalf of the vendor but never gave the vendor.
Oh, my.
And, in fact, the house was never really sold, and all the money went in this guy's pocket, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so three potential homeowners didn't have the property they thought they had. The vendor hadn't sold his properties, and he was being sued for non-payment of the mortgage when he thought his house was sold, and he didn't have any more responsibilities towards the mortgage. And so all of those people have been hurt. They've lost money. And for in particular for the purchasers, they've lost that dream of having their own home.
And as a result of these allegations of impropriety, two of the people, one of the purchasers and one of the vendors, ended up subsequently declaring bankruptcy because of financial fallout that was generated as a result of the mortgage going in arrears and these deals not actually closing. So one thing we can say about the way that this has been presented, may not have been a licensed mortgage person, may not have been a licensed lawyer, was a licensed real estate agent, but certainly was very convincing in his presentations. And there might have been a certain amount of naivety by the purchasers and the vendors that all of these transactions took place and nobody actually sat down and signed any documents with a lawyer.
So, as we said, big red warning flag. But it also, Kevin, as you said, it doesn't mean that everyone who wears two hats is going to do this. If you've got someone who's a real estate agent who also offers to handle the mortgage, I guess this is just trying to tell you, do your homework, do some checking up and find out if they are on the up and up. And of course, make sure you're signing legal documents and there's an actual lawyer involved in the whole thing.
And if they're, and if there's any type of red flags going up, you certainly should pay attention on it. And the old adage of if a deal sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
Not usually, it always is.
Wow. And we were talking about this off air before the show started. My question was, how did this guy not think he was going to get caught?
You know, surprising. this is the terrible thing about fraud, because we've chased down a few fraudsters ourselves and tried to bring them to justice. And what we've found is that there's not all that much interest in the legal circles if it's not over $1 million. But for people who are losing their money, if it's $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, that's their life savings, and that's important to them. But because it's not involving over $1 million worth of fraud, the legal system isn't really interested in it. And that means that person can go on to keep committing this type of crime over and over again because they aren't being brought to justice. And it's as simple as moving from Kitchener to Cambridge to Guelph to Elmira to Stratford, to Hamilton, to Burlington, to, you know, when you're getting caught out in one city, just move to another. And this is what they are doing.
Wow.
My opinion on this one, Dave, the only reason why this one is even making any type of headlines and why it's in the courts is simply because of the fact that this particular person was a licensed real estate agent. And I think this whole thing is being driven by the regulators of the real estate community and the Real Estate Council of Ontario. They certainly want to set down some really strong examples of bad behavior, and they do a pretty good job on policing it. I think if this was just left up to the fraud and some individual going to the local police departments because of the small amount of the so-called small amount of dollars that were involved on this thing, this would never be in court the way it is today. It's being driven as an example, and rightfully so.
Okay. Well, as an example, then, we should take it as an example and just everyone be aware, do some checking up, and hopefully this won't happen again, at least in our community. It's still making me shake my head. If this guy's plan was to eventually jet off to Rio, I guess he didn't get on the plane quick enough. On the show today, now that we've talked about this case in Cambridge, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about specific mortgage products put out there by lenders that are meant to appeal to specific segments of the public. And we're going to go through those products and tell you why they're a good idea for some and probably why they're a really, really bad idea for a lot of other people. So stick around. More of Ask the Experts with Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages coming up. Of course, you'll find them in the real world at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo and online at powermortgages.com. mortgagemag.ca. If you've got questions for them, call us, 519-570-2545. Out of town, toll free, 1-800-570-5715. Or hands-free on your cell phone at star 570. More of Ask the Experts coming up here on 570 News. And welcome back. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Dave Callender. My guests this hour, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. You can give them a call at 519-886-1993 and get more information online at powermortgages.ca. Before we go any further, it is once again time for Kevin's Ask the Experts show rate specials.
Thanks, Dave. And just to really give you a good heads up, I was in for cortisone shots earlier this week in my shoulder, so you can bend away today. You're not getting any better deals out of me, okay?
So you say.
5-year fixed-term money with 120-day closing. Currently 3.79% with a 30-day closing for either purchase, refinance, or switch transfer. We will drop that rate to 3.69%. And as usual, for the first three callers after the show, and this is for qualified new customers only, so you have to qualify on credit and other aspects of mortgage approval, new business only will further reduce those interest rates to 3.59% for 30-day close and 3.69% for 120-day closing. We will do 7-year fixed-term mortgages. The pricing actually has improved fairly well on 7-year money, 4.65% for 120-day closing, 4.55% for 120-day closing, 10-year money at 5.30% and 5.20% for 30-day quick closings, and our variable rate mortgage at prime minus 0.50%, so prime minus a half percent.
And if you'd like to take advantage of these special rates, give Kevin a call right after the show at 519-240-2967. That's 519-240-2967. And if you need me to, I'll rough Kevin up some more. On the show today, as we said, I teased before the break that there's these mortgage products out there that lenders put out. They're supposed to appeal to a specific segment of the public. And to that particular niche, these products appear to be anything from a good idea to a godsend. And they all have their own strengths in specific situations, but they may also have some unappealing aspects as well. And we're going to go through them today, explore each of the following products, and tell you why they're a bad idea for, well, would you say nearly everyone?
Yeah, I would say nearly everyone.
Okay. So what's the first one we're going to tackle today?
One of Kevin's favorites, the One Mortgage product. And we've seen Canadian Tire come out with this and some other lenders, as well as some insurance companies that have banking activities as well. So, now, Kevin, I'm going to let you go on about this one because it is a favorite of yours.
And meanwhile today, my entire intent of coming in here was going to be very similar to my behavior when I go to church. Sit in the back and be quiet.
Pious.
Uh-huh. and we know that's very hard to believe.
Yes, yeah, so somehow I'm not believing it. Kevin, when they advertise these one products on the television, they sound like an amazing thing. I can imagine everyone going, that is the thing for me.
Paying Absolutely. Down my mortgage, that just that quick, saving these thousands and thousands of dollars on it and years off.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? It does. Is there anything good about them?
Well, I guess other than the fact that they sound very appealing, and for a certain percentage of the marketplace and people who have the ability and the financial wherewithal and they are working to a financial plan to actually make these things work for them, I think they're a very effective product. However, the percentage of people that have the self-control to actually follow through on all the things that these products are supposed to do
And no bumps in your life, right? Nothing terrible happens to you.
Yeah, in a perfect world, without the perfect storm, these things are presented to be very good. In reality, our experience has been people who have gotten into these mortgages, by far and large, after a couple of years, they find that they have not performed to the expectations that was presented to them. They find that they've made a lot of payments in that period of time, but they still owe just as much money today as when they started. So if your goal is to get into a debt-free type of scenario, well then, unfortunately, these products may not necessarily be the best ones that's actually going to help you reach your financial goal of paying your mortgage off and being mortgage-free. As they, basically, they are precipitated on the fact as you pay your mortgage down, whether it's a fixed term or variable rate, you create equity in your home, which now creates the ability for you to use the equity in your home for other purposes, paying off other debt or home improvements, which not necessarily a lot wrong with if you are reinvesting the money back into your property.
Or but a car.
But in a lot of cases, what is happening is that these things are being used to finance family vacations or pay off credit card debt that people don't know what they actually spent the money on. And the equity erodes in the home, and eventually what happens is you're in a constant state of debt, and that from a lending perspective is what lenders really want people to be in. They don't want to hear about a debt retirement program. There's no money in lending to a lender if somebody doesn't owe any money. There's only money in it as long as somebody's in a constant state of debt. So what is the motivation for any lender to actually help you prepare a financial plan that includes how to pay your mortgage off, how to get yourself out of debt, and not to basically be using your property on an ongoing basis as an ATM? So I think the way that these products are set up is done. They're marketed differently. They're marketed on the strengths of the program, but in the reality, they're really being built and sold to the customer for the benefit of the lender and not necessarily for the benefit of the borrower themselves.
I think what ends up happening here, because we've never taken one ourselves because okay. We don't like them, is that a long-term debt like a mortgage where you're expecting to take 25 to 35 years to pay for it now becomes the vehicle through which you finance what things that should be short-term debt, like your car, renovations, trips, clothing, furniture, that sort of thing. The things that you borrow money for on the short term in personal loans or put onto credit cards now gets added onto the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And becomes part of a long-term debt. And because it's part of that long-term debt, the thinking on it changes. Where every month you say to yourself, I've got to pay this credit card off, or I've got to make my car loan payment, and it's going to be retired in 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. When it gets rolled into your mortgage, it doesn't have to be retired in that time, and the payments aren't set up to make sure it is retired in that time. It gets rolled into this long-term mortgage debt, and it becomes secured by your property. So it actually becomes part of the mortgage. And now you're not getting your mortgage paid off, and you're not paying off these consumer loans, these short-term debts, in the time that they should be retired in. Mm-hmm. And it's a false sense of payment. It's not really happening on the short-term debt, and it's sure as heck not happening on the long-term debt.
And unfortunately, this becomes even more complicated when people come to the realization that these products may not necessarily be delivering what it is that they really anticipated and looking to see where their debt position is 2 or 3 years after being into this. And all of a sudden, they want to get into more of a conventional type of mortgage financing position. It's only then that they find out that these mortgages cannot be switched, transferred from their lender of choice to another lender because of the documents that were used. And where on a normal switch transfer on a fixed or a variable rate mortgage, lenders will pick up the new costs.
Okay. Well, we'll hold that thought. We'll continue talking about this and the other mortgage products. When we come back, we have to take a short break. My guests today, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, online at powermortgages.ca, and you can call them at 519-886-1993. News is next at 11:30, then back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Callender. This is Ask the Experts, and my guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages, where I'm told that knowledge and service make the difference. You can find out more online at powermortgages.ca. Today we are discussing all the various mortgage products that are put out there to cater to a certain niche of the market. And while they may see them on the surface like, wow, that is exactly what I need, there always seems to be these caveats attached to it. We've been talking about the one mortgage products, and I know Kevin has a few more things he'd like to say about them.
Always seem to
because
have
because it is your favorite, isn't it?
Sorry, among many. Always have something on my chest that I want to get off, despite a load of hair on occasion. So, anyway, I guess as we're going to commercial break, I was talking about the costs that are involved on a regular switch transfer from lender A to a new lender. If you're not happy with what your lender has presented to you in terms of a proposed interest rate for your renewal. Unfortunately, these mortgage products do not qualify for switch transfer, where the lenders are prepared to pick up the legal fees associated with an assignment of the existing mortgage documents. So the only way that you can actually deal with these is through a refinance, where you now have to engage the services of a lawyer or a paralegal service or a title insurance company to handle a transfer, where you're looking at costs anywhere in the vicinity of $550 to $900. And that certainly isn't presented to people at the time as well. We refer to these products as customer retention products. And basically, the fact of that they're not eligible for switch transfer is never disclosed to people when they're signing these documents. They tell them all about the great things, but don't tell them about the limitations, and in particular the fact that if you want to say goodbye at the end of the term, you could be looking at costs pretty close to $1,000 in order to make it happen.
Okay. All right, well, there we go. We said that there were some caveats attached to... All right, so is there anything else we want to say about the one mortgage products, or should we go on to the next?
No, I got lots of things to say, Dave, but you already threatened me. I'm not allowed to say them.
Okay.
I would prefer it if you did not.
Let's go to the next favorite one in terms of lists of bad guys, and that's cash back mortgages.
And you hear a lot about those. I hear that a lot.
We hear too much about them.
Okay.
You know, there was a time when a mortgage was a mortgage. It was a fixed rate, and it was there for a 5-year term, and it was amortized over 25 years. And when you went to get a mortgage, that's what you got. And in the last, I'd say, 15 years, there have been a lot of new innovative mortgage products and some really boutique-y kind of products, you know, right down to like a mortgage that renews every year in which there's a presidential election. You know, like that's a very specific kind of a mortgage, right? It's 4 years, and every 4 years it renews that year because it's the belief of some people that interest rates are affected in a very positive way for the person with a mortgage every 4 years on an evening here in Canada. So we have even those kind of things. But one of the things that came in was this cash back mortgage, where you, at the time, get your mortgage, and they give you cash back. But this cash back, even though it's not added on to the face value of your mortgage, you end up paying it back. And you end up paying it back in the interest rate, where normally you may get an interest rate of, right now, 3.79. If you have a cash back mortgage, you're going to be paying a half to a full percentage point more.
Depending on the amount of the cash back, and it's nothing is for free. We've known for a lot of years through personal experiences, and even more so because of the number of years that we've worked in this industry, that nothing is for free, and banks are not your friends, and they don't give anything away.
Banks are businesses.
Absolutely.
They're not your enemy either, but they are a business in the business of making money, more so than any other business.
And if you're looking at a 5% cash back on the amount of your mortgage, so if you have a $200,000 mortgage and somebody says, listen, I'm going to give you $10,000. $10,000 is a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the potential of getting an interest rate today at 3.79 with no cash back, or you take a $10,000 cash back and you end up with an interest rate of 5%, who's paying for it?
Let me think. You?
Exactly. And just do some quick math on the numbers. On a combined total over the five-year term, you are now paying 6% extra for your interest rate over 5 years, and you're getting 5% cash back. Who's made an extra 20 basis points per year on your mortgage because now you've been sold on $10,000 cash in your pocket?
I think it would be our good friends at the bank.
So not only have you paid a premium interest rate, you've also repaid that $10,000 back. Now, if you want to get out of that mortgage, you want to break that mortgage before that term is up, this is your opportunity to find out just how given this cash back was to you. Because at that point, if they gave you $10,000 and 2 years into it, you say, okay, now I want to go someplace else because it's a better deal, you will be repaying back that portion of the cash back that hasn't been repaid in your interest rate already. So if it was $10,000 and there's 3 years left, you're paying back $6,000. It will cost you a penalty plus an additional $6,000 to be paid back because that cash back wasn't free money.
All right. Now, we always try and look at the positive side of things as well. Is this a good deal for anyone other than our friends at the bank?
Well, Dave, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Can you see anything positive in the scenario that we have just presented to
you? I'm desperately looking for the silver lining, Kevin, but I'm not seeing it.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that is where we see most of our clients who come to us when they are struggling with their mortgage payments because of some financial disaster that's happened in their life, either through illness or injury or loss of income or job, and all of a sudden their mortgage payments are $200 or $300 a month higher than their neighbor next door, who instead of taking the cash back took the best rate on the mortgage. And when they come in to say, well, listen, can you help me out to get a better interest rate and solve my financial problems for me and get me a lower payment, it is only then that they find out that you must have a cashback mortgage. Yes, I do. Well, are you aware that there is a clawback clause in that mortgage? If you pay it out before maturity, not only do you have a penalty to discharge the mortgage, but now you also have to give back a prorated share of the cashback. And 100% of the people that I have dealt with over the years on these cashback mortgages, not one of them knew that there was a clawback clause attached.
Well, there we go. It's another prime example of be informed, read all of the fine print, and do your research. And I guess what it comes down to with these products is if someone offers you one, say, no, I'd rather have the lower interest rate. Thank you.
Do you know where I do see a positive in this one? Here's a scenario where I think it might work is that someone is going into a property, they've bought their property, and they have significant credit card debt, consumer loan, or there may be significant repairs that need to be done to the house, something like that. And this extra money is going to discharge that debt or repair that property when they normally would not have the funds for it. So in that case, there's a big bonus to having this because now you've eliminated, say, a credit card debt.
Right.
But you have to stick with that mortgage. Don't expect to get out of it without paying a very, very heavy price for it. But if at the time you really need to get rid of that credit card debt, this cash back may help you to do that. Now, there is what we have seen so much of and is so disturbing to us is abuse of this by people in the industry. Lenders have what they call road reps. And these road reps are tied to a policy in the bank where they must bring in a certain amount of business. And it's very difficult for a road rep to go out and get that amount of business, but their job depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they oftentimes will end up working with a mortgage agent who is less than scrupulous. And between the two of them, they, because that bank, if banks got road reps on the road, they aren't paying mortgage agents or brokers commissions to do the job for them. So when the road rep can't bring in the kind of business his employer wants him to do, then he ends up hooking up with a less than honest person in the mortgage industry, and they end up taking that cash back, unbeknownst most often, to the client. The client signs for cash back mortgage, but never gets the cash back. That cash back goes into the pocket of the mortgage broker, and sometimes the mortgage broker and the road rep. And this is where a lot of fraud comes in. And we had a recent case with someone in our office with whom we're helping. This isn't a thing we usually do, but this person was really taken to the cleaners on this one. And what was the amount of money that was?
Well, I guess
in
just to clarify, I guess one point. These cashback mortgages are not only available through bank road reps. Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen with their road reps or their mortgage specialists. But just as importantly,
level.
At branch level, where you get some unscrupulous person working behind a desk at a bank, where they work in collusion, and I can't think of any other word to describe it other than collusion, with either mortgage agents and or real estate agents. And believe me, I know a lot of what happens in this town. I've seen a lot of things that have happened in this town over the number of years that I have worked in a mortgage industry. There's lots of rumors that have been around in that period of time, and there's a lot actual lot of facts to support what it is that I say and what I feel about some of these activities. And in particular, the one that we are talking about was a client who actually was given a 7% cashback mortgage on a mortgage for almost $200,000. So there was almost $14,000 that was built into this particular mortgage, to this particular mortgage client's mortgage, that they were going to pay for over the 7-year period, but they never ever got this $14,000 in their pocket. They never got it in their bank account. There was paperwork that was signed by, and I've seen the paperwork and the print size that it was put in. And I worked in the publishing industry for about 5 years, and some people will know when I say this, when I refer to 6-point print, that's pretty small print.
That's teeny.
It's tiny, tiny, and that was the size of the print that was in for this letter of direction that basically gave this $14,000 over to this mortgage agent. It never even got payable to the mortgage brokerage, despite the fact that it was on their letterhead. It was specifically made payable to this mortgage agent and mailed to her home.
Now, this isn't any of our agents or our brokerage, but the mortgage brokerage itself was bypassed. The mortgage broker itself was bypassed, and it went right into the agent's pocket. With the full knowledge that this was happening by the lender and by the lawyer, but not really by the client.
The client only found out about this cashback when they did the inquiry about why are we paying such a high interest rate and we would like to improve our interest rate, and were then given the story, well, you have to give us back the cashback. And the question then came up, well, what cashback?
Wow. Okay, again, this is another great reason why you have to read all the fine print, even if you need a magnifying glass to see the 6 points. Just boggles my mind the things that people do. And again, another great reason why you should really check in, do your research, go with a reputable mortgage broker, and be aware of this sort of thing happening with these kind of products.
You know, and I'd like to say this is the only time we've seen something like this, but we see it far too often. Far too often.
My guest today on Ask the Experts, we're talking with Kevin Power and Ann Turner of Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. If you've got questions for Kevin and Ann, we're going to be going into our final segment. So this is your last chance to ask. 519-570-2545. Out of town, toll free at 1-800-570-5715 and *570, hands-free in your cell phone. Stick around. We still have a fair amount of ground to cover. We're going to try and do it in the final segment here on Ask the Experts from 570 News. I'm Dave Callender. Thanks for joining us. Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, my guest today on Ask the Experts, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, and you can give them a call at 519-886-1993. Let's once again take a look at the show rate specials with Kevin.
Sore shoulder and all, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
5-year fixed-term money with 120-day closing, 3.79%. 30-day closing for purchase, switch, transfer for new clients only, subject to credit approval, 3.69%, and we will sweeten that rate for the first three people who qualify for a mortgage after the show. We will drop it to 3.59% for 5-year money for 30-day closing and 3.69% for 120-day closing. We'll do a 7-year term at 4.65% with 120-day closing and 4.55% for 30-day closing, 10-year money at 5.3% and 5.20% for a 30-day closing, and our forever favorite variable rate mortgage at prime minus a half percent, which on a 2.25% bank prime today would give you a net interest rate of 1.75%.
Wow. And if you'd like to take advantage of those rates, call 519-240-2967 right after the show. That's 519-240-2967. All right. We've got 7 minutes left in the show and three kinds of mortgage products to talk about. Can we do it?
Okay,
no.
Let me talk about, I'll be very quick about blanket mortgages. A blanket mortgage is when you own more than one piece of real estate.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put a mortgage on that piece of real estate. The bank knows you own more. So what they do is say, we will put a blanket mortgage on it. That means they will take a mortgage and tie up, secure it by all of your property or two or three pieces of your property instead of just the one that's getting mortgaged. So that when, if you want to take more money out on a second piece of property or you want to sell it, you have to discharge the entire mortgage, and even though it wasn't that property that was getting mortgaged, and incur all those fees, because you've given the bank more security than they actually need, because you've let them secure more than one property, more than the property that actually needs the mortgage on it.
To give you an example of what we mean on that, if you have three properties that are worth $250,000 each, if you were to put individual mortgages on them for $175,000, you would have $75,000 in equity in each property.
Yes.
That if you were to sell that one particular property and discharge the mortgage, you would walk away with $75,000 less whatever your costs are associated with selling the property and discharging the mortgage in your pocket. If they go on as one mortgage encompassing all three properties, you would then be in a position where you sell one property. The lender typically wants to have the $250,000 that you got made payable directly to them. They will not give you any of the money. Basically, even if you were to sell property two and you still owe the money, they would still take all of that money. You would get your money out when you sell the third and last the third and final property is when you get your money. Financial institutions that do blanket mortgages always get their money before anybody else on these blanket or so-called wraparound mortgages.
So, for those of you who thought the term blanket mortgage sounded warm and cozy, it's not.
You're much better off by investing your money and buying a Snuggie.
Oh, no. All right. Is there anything else we want to say about that one?
No, that's
all right.
Good.
What are we going to tackle?
Secured lines of credit, often called HELOCs, home equity lines of credit, or LOCs, lines of credit.
And they really do have a lock on your equity in your home. And these lines of credit, again, comes down to disclosure or lack thereof of disclosure. And by that I mean the number of people that say, yeah, I've got a line of credit. And we take the time to say, well, what you have is either a first or a second mortgage against the equity that you have in your home. And the surprise that we get saying, no, it's just a line of credit. The number of people who have absolutely no idea that their properties are actually being held as security to support these lines of credit is absolutely amazing and unbelievable. And I've actually gone to the registry office when I've had this conversation with people, and when they actually come in to physically sit down with me, I show them a copy of the document that they signed and a copy of the abstract of the title in their home that's registered in the registry office, and it is only then that they actually got their first clue that they actually have signed away the equity in their property in favor of this borrowing.
I think where the confusion comes up is because most people don't realize that you're not buying a mortgage. A mortgage is security against the loan. Mm-hmm. Just like if you buy a car, you sign your car over as security so that if you don't make the payments, they can take your car. A mortgage is security against non-payment of the loan. So when you combine, and a mortgage is defined in law as a security against real property, and real property is land and the buildings on it. So when you put a line of credit on and it is secured by your house, that is a mortgage. They can call it what they like, but it is a mortgage, and it sits either in first position or second or third position, whatever. But it is still, and if you don't make the payments on your line of credit, they can foreclose on your house.
You will find out very quickly if you miss payments, just then exactly what you have signed. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, you'll fully recognize the fact that you have signed over your property in support of security on the loan.
So, folks, a secured line of credit is a mortgage. If you've already got a mortgage, now you've got a second one. About a minute and a half left. Fully closed mortgages. Go.
All right. These are kind of few and far between today, and they're typically associated with harder-to-place mortgages.
Subprime mortgages.
And unfortunately, I guess it comes down to the people that qualify the least usually are the people that end up with mortgages with companies that have more penalties associated if you go in default, and that's just the nature of
that. Unless attractive conditions and fully closed is one of them.
And that's not one of the things that you can negotiate at the beginning, saying I'll take your money, but I won't take it if it's a fully closed mortgage. That's if you want the money, unfortunately, that's what you got to take. That's what's available to you.
Fully closed means that you cannot break this mortgage for any reason. If you want to break this mortgage, you will end up paying every single cent of interest due for the term of that mortgage. If you break it the second day, you're still going to pay interest on that mortgage as if you had had it for the full term of the mortgage. There's no getting out paying that lender all of their money as if you had had the mortgage the full term.
Okay.
And even then, you can only do it on an arm's length sale of the property. If you win the lotto and you want to pay it out, unfortunately, they won't let you do it either.
Okay. Well, there we go. Succinct and summed it up very well. Those were, I think we actually covered everything we wanted to cover today.
First time ever.
First time in a long time.
My guest today, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages. If you need to know more, if you want to ask them about a mortgage, if you want to get those show rate specials, give them a call right after the show. Again, Kevin's cell phone, 519-240-2967, or look them up online at powermortgages.ca. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. We'll see you in a few weeks.
All right. Noon News is next. Then we'll be back with more of Ask the Experts here on 570 News.